Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Just before I read this, I do want to make an announcement, like we haven't had enough of those this morning, but on the Thursday night Bible study, we have been working our way through Genesis, and we're taking it very slowly, and you would be surprised some of the stuff that comes out of Genesis. I mean, a lot of times, as Christian said, don't just read it like a romantic story. There's some really hardcore stuff in Genesis that we often miss because we're not reading between the lines. And we've been studying Lot and Abraham for quite some time now. So I encourage you all to come out. It is canceled for the next 2 weeks. But if you're serious about learning some really stuff that is jaw-dropping, I encourage you to come. Thank you. Our verses today are from Genesis 13, verses 10 through 13. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar, and that stands for little and insignificant, was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, which is in the same areas. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men, Abram and Lot, parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Thank you.
You may be seated. Thank you, Denise. Most of our lives are occupied with making decisions. Daily decisions, just normal things about our schedules. But big decisions, life-changing decisions, like dating, marriage, college, career, what we do with money, our big relationships in life. What I want to do this morning is focus on the big life-changing decisions that we face. I'm going to use Lot from Genesis. Denise just read an introduction, basically. We're going to look at seven chapters. We're not going to go through them verse by verse, of course. But Lot's life covers those chapters, Genesis 13 through 19. So we're going to use Lot as our model for how to make decisions that will destroy your life. We're going to use Lot as a model for how to make decisions that will destroy your life. Certainly we have many biblical examples, but Lot is going to teach us how not to make decisions. Let me ask a very pointed question. How many of you want your life to end up as a disaster? I hope there's no one here like that. How many of you want to end up living a life that's totally out of the will of God? I hope there's no one like that. So we're going to look at some key principles of decision-making from Lot's life. And they become a very serious progression. And put it in old-timers' terms, Lot has placed himself, and you'll see this progression, on the slippery slope of sin and where that leads. So here's his first decision. If we want to end up like Lot and live a life of destruction outside of the will of God, here's what we do first. The decision to live life by one's physical senses and not the spirit. The decision to live one's life based on their physical senses and not by the spirit, meaning the spirit of God. In Genesis chapter 13, which we just heard read, verse 10, it says, he looked up and saw. He's looked up towards Zoar, which was near Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw. And I want to underscore one word, and that is the word saw. And we don't have time to go through all the details of all these specifics in Lot's life. But he saw something, and he was parting company from Abraham, his uncle. And Abraham said, you make the decision. Where do you want to go? Because I'm going to go here. You make the decision. And Lot looks towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards Zoar, and he sees this well-watered plain. And he says, that's where I want to go. And his decision was based on his physical senses, not any counsel of God, not any seeking the Holy Spirit, not praying about it, just, I see something and that's what I want. It touches my physical desires. And he ends up living near Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll touch on Sodom and Gomorrah in a moment. But most people understand, even non-believers, even non-Bible people understand some of the implications of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the critical thing at this stage in decision making, that Lot was making his decisions purely on physical attraction, something that he saw and he liked. Now, a little pause. Okay? Today's Mother's Day. And we focus on mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. But some of you young girls, you teenagers, you singles, do not base your decision on physical appearance only for the man that you want to choose in life. That's all I'll say. Here we find Lot seeing something that looked so good. Did not seek God's counsel. Did not seek God's direction, did not pray about it. At least there's no record of it here. And what that says to us is that every decision that we make must flow from how that decision will affect my spiritual life and my maturity as a disciple of Jesus. Every decision I make, we need to evaluate. Is it just because it looks good, it tastes good, it smells good, it's very attractive, it satisfies some physical desire? Or how does that affect my spiritual life, my relationship to Jesus, and where he wants me to be headed and what he wants to do in my life? And every decision that we make needs to be filtered through that. We know that in this particular case, Lot ended up living near Sodom and Gomorrah. So we have to evaluate, I'm making a decision, what will be the long-term consequences about that decision? And that covers everything. Dating, courting, marriage, college, career, relationships, etc., etc. Is it governed by what will it do for me spiritually over and above what will it do for me physically? See, we dare not give in to the pressure of our self-centered, narcissistic society in which we find ourselves, that life revolves around me and how it satisfies me and meets all of my needs and caters to my wants. And that may involve things like my livelihood, the location where I live, and the lifestyle that I choose to live. Is this where God wants me to go? Is this how God wants me to live? Lot made the decision to live by his physical senses and not seeking the consequences of how it would affect him spiritually. A second decision, and that is the decision to live by compromise. Here we have to jump to chapter 19, which we didn't hear read. And if you get a chance, you can read through it later today. Chapter 19, verses 1 and 8 tells us this very sad and sick account. Now, I'm not here this morning to just speak about what specifically happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I want you to notice something very interesting. Don't miss this. He leaves Abraham. Abraham says, pick what you want. He says, I'm going towards Zoar that's near Sodom and Gomorrah. He makes that decision to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And now in chapter 19, where do we find himself? He's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you catch that? First decision, towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he's in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this unbelievable incident that happens on the night when he's there, and two angels of God come to Sodom and Gomorrah. They're coming because they're going to announce God's wrath and God's judgment. Without being too specific or too detailed, these two angels that look like men are in Lot's place. He tells them, you can't stay on the street, you can't stay by the public well, because we have some strange kind of people that are around here. Actually, they were militant homosexuals. Militant homosexuals. And they wanted these men. And they come beating down Lot's door. And here's where the compromise comes. Lot says, no, you can't touch these guys. Here's my daughters. Don't touch these guys from God. Here's my daughters. We may find ourselves living in Sodom, meaning an environment that is very unbiblical and unchristlike and just unethical and violates all God's standards of righteousness and holiness. We may find ourselves in that surrounding environment, and the temptation will be to compromise. And this is what Lot's doing. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong in God's standard of things. And he makes the decision, okay, I'm not going to let these guys touch these angels, but take my daughters and do with them sexually whatever you want to do. And see, we may find ourselves in similar surroundings, but we must never compromise God's word or our families for what the sinful world may ask of us. That particular statement that I have just made may not communicate. It may communicate a year from now. And you're going to go, oh man, the light bulb went on and I remember what he said. We may find ourselves in a Sodom environment, but we must never compromise God's word and our families for what this sinful world may ask of us. It may not be our daughters, but it may be our values. And it may be our ethics. It may be our commitment to truth and our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could add to that list. Will we make decisions that will compromise our faith? Because once we do, man, are we on that slippery slope to destruction, that slippery slope of sin. A third decision, the decision to doubt God's word. Chapter 19, verse 6, and you could read this account there, that when the angels come and they speak to Lot and they say, Lot, God's judgment's coming. God's wrath is coming against Sodom and Gomorrah. We want you out of here. Can you imagine if an angel of the Lord appeared here this morning and said, hey, get out of this building because there's a fire coming. Would you leave? Don't answer that. Much more dramatic than an angel of the Lord coming here this morning saying the building's going to catch on fire, get out of here, kind of a warning thing, that God's judgment and wrath was coming against Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does Lot do? He hesitates. He goes, maybe. We'll see. I'm not sure. And I see him doubting God's word. He's doubting God's word. Would judgment really come on this place of Sodom and Gomorrah that is so well known that it attracts people from all over? Would it really come? Would God's wrath really fall? So we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe God's word is best, the best rule for our faith and practice as Christians? Do we really believe that? And I'm afraid sometimes we don't. That's probably one area that if I ever write a book, that I want to somehow underscore that in my 45 years of being a pastor, that Christians, and I'm not talking about non-believers outside the family, I'm talking about people that are committed to Jesus, they really hesitate, they doubt God's word. They just don't. Yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, but, you know, it's the buts that kill you. But I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure. You know, if I make this decision, you know, if I marry that person that maybe God doesn't want me to marry, that it won't be so bad. If I do this and if I practice this, I'm not sure if it's going to really affect me the way God's words. I'm not sure about this thing called the Bible, you know? Or, you know, the Bible says you'll reap what you sow, but I'm not sure if that's going to affect me. I'm different. Will the Lord pour out his wrath on earth? Is there judgment coming? Is Jesus Christ Lord of everything in my life? Well, maybe, but I'm not sure, you know? That's Lot. He's hesitating. He's doubting God's word. Another decision. Now we're going to really jump into this thing with both feet. The decision to put God's will second. Verse 18 of chapter 19. Has the Lord sending Lot and his wife and daughters to flee to the mountains? Okay, so Lot's ready. He said, okay, the angels have come and they've said there's judgment coming on Sodom and Gomorrah, and I want you to take your wife and your daughters and family and get out of here and flee to the mountains. And you know what Lot says? No. He says, no. Send me to Zoar. Don't send me there. Can you imagine saying no to God? Have any of us ever done that? When God says, do this, and we go, no, I'm going here. That's what Lot's doing. He actually says, and I quote from the translation, no, my Lord. It is mind-boggling that he would say no to God until we look in a mirror and we go, I've said no to God. And then the Lord goes, okay, have it your way. If that's what you really want. And if you know the story, if you've read Genesis 19, go to Zoar, don't go to where I tell you. Settle for second best. Settle for second best. And they're on their way. And many people know the story, even non-Christians know the story, that his wife disobeys the angel and looks back and is turned to a pillar of salt. There's a lot we could say about Lot's wife right here. Did she miss her little society of friends? Did she miss her comfort zone? Did she miss her shopping at the mall? You know what I mean? I don't know, but she looked back for something. The angel said, don't look back. And she looked back. But my concern is not so much with the wife. It is with Lot. Is it possible that if Lot had gone to where God wanted him first, that his wife would still be alive for him? We don't know that. I'm speculating. But I can't help but think that if Lot was in the middle of God's will, that she would have done exactly what her husband and the angel of the Lord said to do. The lesson for us is that disobedience to the Lord's will in our decision making will always lead to disasters. And it will lead to consequences that will affect our family, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, and the people that we're very close to in life. And in this way, it affected Lot and his wife and his daughters, and he ended up having daughters that have no mother. according to Galatians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, we will reap what we sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap to the Spirit. Disobedience to God's perfect will always leads to the second best, and that usually has very serious consequences for others in our lives, spouse included, children, parents, family. And it's so sad that Lot continued to live a life of fear, and he missed God's best. He missed God's best. Jesus' way is always the best. The last decision. The decision to live in sin. The progression. The slippery slope. The making decision that I like that, boy, that is attractive to me. It touches my physical senses. That's where I want to go. And he started on that slippery slope down to this fifth decision, the decision to live in sin. In Genesis 19, we find this unbelievable story of Lot living in a cave with his daughters. Remember, his wife's dead. And he ends up in a state of drunken incest. You say, that never happened to me. I am sure Lot, traveling with Abraham, all these flocks, a highly successful businessman. Life is going on great. A wife and daughters. Me end up living in a cave in drunken incest with my own daughters? That'll never happen to me. But that's where he ends up. You follow his life and the decisions that he makes from Abraham to near Sodom and Gomorrah, to living in Sodom and Gomorrah, to giving his daughters up to these guys, and then disobeying God and settling for second best, and now in drunken incest. He goes from a wealthy farmer to a caveman, to the grossest of sin. Do you see the slippery slope of the decisions that he was making? We have no other record of Lot, except Peter mentions him in 2 Peter and uses him as an example. And out of that incest situation in the cave, two children would be born to those daughters whom Lot was the biological father. And those two sons would grow up and be great problems for Israel, the fathers of the Moabites and the Amorites. And what a sick, sad legacy that Lot leaves. How will we finish our lives? How will we finish our lives? What kind of legacy will we leave? See, our decision making right now is vital. And it's never too late to turn around. You live like Lot, you enjoy sin and its pleasures for a time, you will reap the consequences. If you want to be a failure, make decisions like Lot. I mean, honestly, who here in this humble place, in this simple group of people, would make a decision to end up living in a cave in an incestuous, drunken relationship? Who in their right mind would make that decision? But people do. People that profess to follow Jesus do. Maybe not necessarily the incest, but everything else that goes with it. Okay, let's summarize. I can't help but chuckle to myself because I'm hearing myself preach this morning, okay? And I caught a commercial, no names mentioned, one of the largest churches in the world, the pastor gets up and says, "We want to inspire you." And I'm thinking, tomorrow I am preaching, it's not going to be a lot of inspiration. I am not here to inspire you, I'll be honest. I am here to warn you. I am here to warn you. Don't live like Lot. Maybe that'll inspire you. Don't live like Lot. The decision to live by one's physical senses alone totally disregard the Spirit of God and prayer and your relationship to Him. The decision to live by compromise, to compromise God's Word. The decision to doubt God's Word. The decision to put God's will second. And then that decision to live in sin. And these decisions for Lot, they led to disaster. They led to total failure and no legacy other than this ugly legacy that he had. I hope you don't want to be like Lot. And we don't have to be. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the most exciting role model that there ever was and is. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our role model. And following him is the best way to live. Let's stand for prayer. Let's just be quiet before the Lord for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe you've made a wrong decision, a bad decision, and you move towards Sodom and Gomorrah, metaphorically, in your life. Jesus is always there waiting. He is the God of second chances. And your life can turn around, just repent and say, "Jesus, I want out of here. I want out of this mess that I've made." And he will be there. His Holy Spirit will be there. And he'll bring you through that. Because he loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. We praise your name. I ask now that your Holy Spirit will come and touch, convict, challenge, edify, motivate. And as we leave here, let us breathe in your presence. For your glory, Lord, I pray. Amen.